Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, I want to continue in what I talked about last week. And if you weren't here last week, that's okay. I'll get you up to speed as well. And every message is for itself, so you'll get it. But I feel like this is a really important subject and a really important topic that the Holy Spirit has just been brewing inside of me. And for you that are looking at me like, who is this guy that's up there? My name is Pastor Donnie, and I get the privilege to be here with you guys tonight. Usually I'm with your teenagers, and I'm blessed to be there with them. And your teenagers are awesome. And I know they're getting the Word of God tonight as well, because Terrence is doing a great job with his team over there. But I just want you guys to know that God wants to deliver something into your heart tonight. How many are ready for the Word of God? How many are really ready for the Word of God? Last week, if you were here, I talked about yes being what? A power in yes, right? I talked about obedience, and I talked about when you step into obedience, God does things that are supernatural in your life. I also talked about last week that when you said yes to certain things for God, you're saying things not even realizing the effect that it has on generations. Your yes affects other generations as well. You pave the way for the generations to have an impact by just your yes. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. When you said yes to God, your kids say yes to God. They may not respond right away, but eventually down the road, when you believe for them and you pray for them, guess what? God shows up on their behalf, and guess what? They end up serving God the rest of their life. I remember when I said yes to God, my kids came and said yes to God. They may not have known what they were doing at the time, but they saw mommy and daddy lifting their hands in church. They saw mommy and daddy praying. They saw that, so they looked at it as an example. Why? Because we said yes. You don't know sometimes the impact you have when you say yes to a position you take in a job. Here's why. You saying yes might create the other position you're in for somebody else to be promoted and get in a position they've been waiting for. All because you said what? So there's power in your yes. But tonight I want to take this a little further, and I want to talk about something that I believe will change your life forever. Yes, your yes activated God's plan. Yes, your yes invited God in, if you remember. And yes, it echoed beyond your imagination. But tonight, I want to talk to you about obedience and releases and unlocks God's power in your life. The title of my message is this: Obedience Unlocks Overflow. Now, would it be a fair statement to say, how many of you want overflow of God in your life? I mean, come on, can I get a real answer tonight? How many really want God's overflow in your life? So in order to do that, I really think that's a fair statement, right? But in order to do that, there are some things that we have to do that God asks us to do. Hold up. You mean I got to do things that God asks me to do? Yes. Now, can I just throw a disclaimer real quick? 99.9% of the time, when God asks you to do something in obedience, it's never easy. Actually, let me just back up a little bit. 150% of the time, when God asks you to do something in obedience, it's never easy. And I think sometimes we get the wrong picture and the wrong idea. And I say this because I've talked to many different people, and they talked about, well, I've been obedient in my life, and I was obedient, and I homeschooled my kids, and I was obedient to my husband, and I was obedient to God. I read my word, but yet I didn't receive what I thought I was going to receive. Listen, you don't always receive that blessing right away. But if you continue to stay in the obedience, guess what? Eventually, you're going to walk in to the blessings that God has for your life. But the challenge is this: most of us, including myself, if I could be real, when we're in that position of being in obedience, it's hard for us to stay in that obedience because things want to sway and throw us off track. Offenses come. Oh, no, don't say offenses in church. Yes, offenses come. Exes show up. People show up in your life that you said you forgave, that you never really forgave, because when they show up, you're like, ew, get them out of here. But are you going to be obedient in that? Even when it gets hard, are you going to be obedient in it? I never realized when I said yes to things, the challenges that you were going to face in life. Has anyone ever felt that before? Let me just share just a little bit with you guys real quick. Some of you may have heard this before. That's okay. We forget when we walk out of here. We know that. So I'll share with you again. When I said yes to being obedient to God asking us to take a big step to planting a rock church in Los Angeles, let me explain to you what happened. The day I said yes, my hands and fingers turned purple, and I don't know why. I got hit with an autoimmune disease out of nowhere. And after getting hit with that, my wife gets hit something mentally, and I have to get her a therapist. And she's right here on the front row. She will tell you that the therapist worked. Also, the Holy Spirit works. But this happened, and then my kids get hit with all these different things. Everything came against us when we said yes, but not enough to take me out. And just because I haven't got the overflow yet in my life, come on, doesn't mean I'm gonna stop right here. I had someone come up to you not too long ago. I said, brother, I've been praying for you because I feel like there's some gang member in LA that wants to kill you. And I said, good, that means I'm doing something right for Jesus. Say, obedience unlocks overflow. I look at the scripture, and there's a verse that I want to look at. And it's in Luke chapter 5. Before I look at it, I just want to explain something to you. This is when Simon, who we all know as Peter as well, is out fishing all night. And while fishing, he caught nothing. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I remember being in a men's ministry at a church and all these men getting together like, yeah, we're going deep sea fishing. And I'm like, what is that? We get on this boat and I'm getting on this boat and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. There's going to be no problem with this. Now, we're not out there all night. We're only out there for a certain amount of hours, thank God. Because here I am with a bunch of men that I think they're big and strong and talking like, yeah, we're going to catch all these fish and we're going to do all this stuff. And when I get out on that boat, man, I'm going to get all the fish and you guys aren't going to get any. I'm telling you, I'm like, catch what you want, man. I'll just watch you guys. Because I just wasn't into the whole deep sea fishing, but I went because I was one of the pastors on staff, being the nice pastor, being a leader. I'm going to go and I'm going to try to do this. Anybody ever try doing something that you don't really want to do, but you try to do it, right? And so all of a sudden, all these guys are on the boat and they're all acting like they're big, burly, buff, tough guys. And half of the guys are throwing up on the side of the boat. Makes you want to go deep sea fishing, right? No. These guys are throwing up on the other side. Some of these guys are catching fish. Some of the guys are laying on top of the cabin part because the cabin of the boat is telling them, hey, if you lay up here, let the sun hit you a little bit, and just stay up here, you won't get sick. And they're laying out like this. Not many of them were fishing, including myself. And I'll tell you what, man, when I get off that boat, I thought life was going to be good. But for some reason, for the next few hours, I felt like this the whole time, just going up and down. Someone's like, you should have took this stuff called Dramamine. And I'm like, no, I don't do drugs. But they go, no, it's not drugs. It's a pill that helps you relax in the ocean. I said, I should have took a whole bottle of that right then. My point is this. That was just a few hours on the sea. Now, I know you get frustrated at times, right? No. How many of you get exhausted at times? How many of you get like angry at times? Anybody? Where are my real Christians at? Like, I get angry, yeah. Angry, we don't sin, right? Okay. But you know, Peter being on that boat all night caught nothing. Now, I would have gave up after 20 minutes. I would have gave up when I stepped onto the boat. I wouldn't even gotten onto the boat, to be honest with you. I'd rather go eat the seafood somewhere else. But this guy's on a boat all night fishing. But look what happens. It takes one word from Jesus to step up. Out of nowhere and say, yo, cast the net back in the water. I've been doing this all night. And nothing is working for me. But something churned in that story. And I'm here to tell you, it could turn in your life as well. When God speaks something to you and you listen to what he says. I'll pick it up in verse 5. He says it like this in verse 5. He says, Master, Simon replied. You know what? Let me pick it up at the very beginning. Go with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. It says this. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in him and on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Verse 3 says, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, who we know is Peter as well, it's the owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, oh, I love this. But if you say so, hold on, let me say that one more time. But if you say so, in other words, he didn't hesitate. He didn't disobey. He didn't say, well, Jesus, I've been doing this all night and I got nothing. He didn't complain to him. He said, but if you what? Say so. I'll let down the nets down again. And this time, check this out, verse 6. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. In other words, this, Jesus spoke to him and said, go throw the nets back in the water, go deeper and throw the nets in. And what does he do? He listens. He what? Listens. He obeys what Jesus asks of him. And guess what happens? He unlocks something in his life. It's called provision. The minute he threw the nets in the water, more fish came out. So much fish that it ripped the bottom and continued to tear. And it was abundance of what they asked for. See, I call that an overflow. See, obedience unlocks God's overflow even in your life. Why did I say that this could change for you like it did for Peter? Here's why. When Jesus asks of you to do something, instead of complaining and arguing and trying to think of a way not to do it, just step out and say, here I am, God. Use me. Send me. I'll do what you're asking. And then what happens is this. You might get some resistance, can I be honest? But guess what? The overflow is coming when you stay in that obedience. Write this down if you're taking notes. Obedience unlocks God's overflow. There's a Christian entrepreneur. His name was Jerry Horse. Felt led by God to purchase the top construction company without any kind of financial means. Meaning this, he had no money to buy what he was going to buy. But here's what he had. He had faith. Through faith and obedience, he built a thriving multi-million dollar business. His yes unlocked supernatural provision and growth beyond what he could imagine. What can we learn from that? Here's what I want to say. When we step out in obedience, even if it doesn't make sense, watch how God releases overflow in your life. See, it's because it's not a man idea, it's a God idea. And when God gives you the God idea, guess what? God ideas work. Man idea never worked in my life. When I had an idea of something, it never worked. It didn't work the way I wanted it to work. How many of you have been there before? Just wave at me so I know there's real people, right? But when it's a God idea, guess what? God's idea always works. You know why? Because it belongs to God. But it's our job to be obedient and to walking in the God idea that he has for our life. And so when God challenges you or God asks you to do something that's a God idea and it's not your own flesh, and you've learned about flesh, you've learned about spirit, you've learned about these things on Sundays, and if you haven't, get them online. But here's the thing, you've learned about this, so now you should be able to know whether it's your idea from the flesh or your idea that God gave your spirit to give to you. And God ideas work. This guy didn't have the finances to buy the company. This guy didn't have the money to do what God asked him to do. But guess what? He stepped out in faith. He said, God, I'll do it. I'm going to step out. And because I'm stepping, I'm going to be obedient. And all of a sudden, God built this multi-million-dollar construction company because of one simple yes and obedience to God and his word. What can your yes do for you tonight? How about this? Identify one area where God is prompting you to say yes. How about this? Your yes and your obedience doesn't wait for your understanding, but it waits for your willingness. You're not going to understand why you said yes to every single thing God asked. But the willingness to say yes says, God, I trust you and I have faith in you. And even though I don't know what I'm getting into, you said it, God, so I'm going to do it. Here's what you can expect from that. Expect overflow. Trust that when you move, God moves in ways you couldn't even imagine or even plan. I just love that about Jesus. How many love that about God? Remember what I said last week? Sometimes God just waits for us to take that first step and move. And then all of a sudden God shows up. But if we never take that step, guess what? We stay right here. And we're wondering why God doesn't show up. Because we haven't stepped out in what God's asked us to do. We haven't stepped into what God's asked us to do. So instead, we stay right here, and God's like, yo, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to come, but you're not stepping. So if I need you to show me that you have an interest in this and take a step of faith and believe that I'm going to show up. A lot of times, you have to do that in our healing. Come on, somebody. A lot of times, we quote scripture, by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Our bodies are healed. They're whole. But yet, do we really take that first step of faith? Or do we just speak it with our words in our mouth? Or do we say, you know what? I believe what that scripture says. Because I believe what that scripture says, I'm going to apply that scripture. Because I apply it, guess what? God's going to heal me. So I have a challenge for you guys. Remember I said I'm going to give you some challenges. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a huge, small, big or small step of obedience this week. This week. I want you to take a step of obedience this week. Maybe it's something God's already been asking of you. Maybe God, when you walk out of here tonight, God's going to ask of you. Maybe when you're at the altar tonight, God was asking of you. But I want to challenge you to take that step. Write it down. Take that step of obedience and watch what God does. When Peter took the step of obedience, guess what? He was overflowed with fish. It wasn't a halfway in. He was fully submitted to what God asked. Listen, I did not be honest with you. Halfway in doesn't work. Come on, somebody, if you agree with me. Halfway submission does not work. Halfway, oh, I'm going to be here. Oh, I'll do it right here for this moment, but this other part, no, I'm not going to do it. Listen, you either be fully submitted to God or don't be submitted at all. Can I just get an amen for that? Like, let's just be honest tonight. Let's be real, because the halfway stuff doesn't work. You know how I know? Because I tried it. What, Pastor? Yes, I did. When God asked me to be obedient in something in my life, I was halfway in. I wasn't fully in. Until one day God said, I don't want your half obedience. I want all of your obedience. And when I gave him all the obedience, guess what happened? Changes started to take place in my life and in that position, in that place where I was at. Because it wasn't halfway anymore. Which leads me to the next part of this. Is partial obedience blocks full overflow. If you want that full overflow in your life, guess what? You can't have partial obedience. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. When God asks of you to lay something down, don't lay a piece of it down and hold the rest of it in. When God speaks to you about an addiction you have in your life, can I talk to you for a moment? Can I just preach for a moment? When God speaks to you about an addiction that you have in your life, there's a reason why he's speaking to you about it. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's smoking weed. Maybe it's drugs. I don't know what the case is, but there's a reason why he's speaking to you. And if God says lay it down, he means lay it down. Not here, lay half of it down and get the rest later. Because that's a partial obedience. Why would we expect more from God if we're just giving him partial? Why would you expect blessings from God if you're tithing partial? What if you were partially into your business? Why would you expect overflow for your business? If you were partially into your relationship, why would you expect God to bless it? Like, let's talk for a moment. Partial doesn't work. Partial obedience does not work. It's when you're fully submitted and obedient to what God is asking you and of you to do in your life. Not the partial stuff. I mean, if I'm going to do partial, I might as well just come and sit down in church. And during worship, just partial worship by sitting and lifting my hand for a second. I might as well give God my partial just by not doing much for his kingdom. Maybe I'll read his Bible because I'm partially in, but partially out. No, you got to be fully obedient to what God is asking of you in your life and for you to do. No more partial stuff, church. Can I be real with you? Partial is not going to get you nowhere. The only place it's going to get you is where you don't want to be. But when you go full obedience, guess what? It gets you to a place where you want to be, and that's God's blessings in your life. I'll prove it to you in the Word of God. Because a lot of times we're just hearers of the Word. That's partial. But until you become a doer, guess what? You're not fully doing it. And in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Wait, you must do what? Hold on, you must what? Do what it says, right? Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. In other words, if you don't do what God's word says, guess what? You're doing what you say, and you're in disobedience. But if you do what God says, guess what? Now you're walking into a place of obedience. See, a lot of times we read the word of God. Let me be real, because I've done this in my life. I'll be very transparent with you, and don't look at me like that, because you've all probably done this too as well. But we read the word and we just get the word. Anybody know what I mean? We just read it to read it to read it. Yeah, God, check it off. I did my reading today. But yet we don't do what the word says. When you read the word of God and God speaks to you, then do what God's word says. And when you do what God's word says, guess what? You're going to see that fruit come alive in your life like you never have before. And guess what? Now you're fully submitted into the obedience of God. Not a halfway in. Not just a partial obedience, but you're in a full obedience. There's a story that I read about a guy named Brian Scudamore. Probably murdered his last name, but that's okay. Brian Scudamore was the founder of 1-800-GOT-JUNK. How many of you ever seen Got Junk driving around town? Most of us have seen it, right? He started small. At first, he only did part of what was needed, and growth was slow. See, when you only do part of what's needed, guess what? Things happen very slow. But when he went all in improving customer service, expanding his vision, and committing fully, his business exploded into a multi-million dollar company. Why? Because he was not half-hearted in anymore. He was fully submitted in obedience to what he was called and supposed to do to give it his all. I wonder, and I ask this question, if there's anyone out there tonight, and don't raise your hand, don't even look at me. But if there's anyone out there tonight that could say, you're halfway into something and you haven't fully bought in to the obedience that God has asked. I wonder. I'm not asking you who it is. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not even going to check it or anything. Matter of fact, I'll close my eyes. If that was you, I want you to write it down, be real with yourself and say, I've been halfway in, and tonight I need to turn around and be fully obedient to what God is asking. I love how Joyce Meyer says it. She says it like this. You cannot fully receive God's best until you are willing to fully obey God. In other words, this, if you're not fully ready to obey God, don't expect his best. Pastor, how come I'm not getting my spouse? I don't know. Maybe you're not obeying what God is asking you, and you're looking in all the wrong places when God's been trying to tell you to look somewhere else, in the church. Some of y'all at the club looking for your spouse? No. Some of y'all at the gym looking for your spouse? Definitely not. How about this? Not look and pray and believe that God will bring you the right one. But maybe that's been closed because you're not fully obedient to what God is asking you to do. Maybe some of you have a major addiction in here. In your life, you have a strong addiction. And you're like, I go to church, but God's asking you to do this one thing and you haven't done it yet. Maybe that's get rid of that dealer's number. Delete it. Empty it. Delete it from the trash can so you don't remember it. Matter of fact, wipe your phone and get a new phone. Here's why. If you don't, you're going to go back to it. But then you wonder why you're not being free, because you're not in obedience that God is asking you. Maybe some of you are in a position and your finances are tough and your finances are rough, and God has been speaking to you about tithing, or God's been speaking to you about just saving and doing certain things with it and coming together and working together, but yet you're being disobedient and not doing it, and you wonder why you're in a mess. Don't look at your spouse right now and be like, it's your fault. Can I just be honest? You get God's best when you obey God fully. And if you want God's best for your life, guess what? You got to learn to be obedient child of God. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight, tell Jesus. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy 28:2 says it like this. You will experience all these blessings. Say all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Now, I encourage you guys to go read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It has a whole bunch of blessings in there that you can receive. But here's the thing. You have to obey. Say obey. Say obey. Obey what the Lord God asks. So how do we do this? Here's how you can do it. Check your heart. Check your heart tonight. Are you holding back an area of obedience in your life? Is there something in your life that you're holding back on? Is there something in your life that you're not fully being obedient to God and you're holding just that one little area? How about this? Try going all in. Obey fully. Even if it is uncomfortable. How many of you have obeyed fully when it's uncomfortable? Raise your hand. A lot of us have, right? But how many receive great things out of it? Raise your hand. There you go. That's proof. When you step out in faith, you believe God. Guess what? God's going to show up. Here's another one. You can expect overflow. God multiplies your full obedience beyond your imagination. He multiplies your what? Full obedience. Not your partial obedience. Come on, church. Let me say something. Your partial obedience isn't getting multiplied. It's your full obedience that gets multiplied. Here's what I want to challenge you with this tonight. Take one area where you've been holding back and fully obey God this week. Write this down. Take one area where you've been holding back and fully obey God in this area this week. Which leads me to the last one tonight is this. Your full yes unlocks God's overflow. Not your partial yes. But in the beginning of this message, I said, how many of you want God's overflow in your life? Raise your hand. How many of you tonight want God's overflow? Raise your hand. Come on, where are we at? How many really want God's overflow? Raise your hand. Here's what it's going to take. Your full what? Your full what? Because that's what's going to unlock God's overflow. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says it like this. Trust. Say trust. In the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. And he will show you which path to take. Overflow does not happen without trust. Obedience does not happen if you don't know how to trust God. Because when God speaks to you to do something that's very uncomfortable, guess what you're going to have to do? Trust that God is going to help you do what he's speaking to you to do. You're going to have to do what? Say it with you. You're going to have to what? Trust. Because if you don't trust that God's going to do it, it's going to be hard for you to even walk into that obedience. Especially if you don't know what you're walking into. total surrender and total trust is that, God, here's the pen. Write out my life. I trust and I plan what you're going to write for me in my life. Not let me hold a part of the pen, but God, here's the pen. I give it to you. Write my story. Rewrite what you want to rewrite. Write what you want to write new. And God, bring it to a place where you want it to be. Not my desire, God. Not my will, God. Not what's in my heart, God. But God, what's in your heart, God. What you have for me. God, here it is. I trust you enough to write this out. God, I trust you enough that you're going to write the perfect plan. God, I trust you enough that you're going to write the plan that I'm going to walk in obedience. God, I trust you enough. Not here's a pen, I take it back, I don't trust. And a lot of times, Christians, can I be honest with you? That's what we do. Man, Pastor, you're tough on us, and I know I'm being real. Because a lot of times we do this. Pastor Mike doesn't do this, don't worry. We take the pen. Oh, God, I don't like that. We take it back. God takes a pen, wants to rewrite something, gets ready to write something. Oh, God, that's not going to work for me. Who are you to tell God it's not going to work? Are you God? Because last time I checked, you didn't die on no cross. Come on, somebody. You have to come to a place where you trust God enough with your life. If you really want to walk in that overflow, you got to trust God enough. And I mean, you got to trust. It's easy to say, oh, I trust God. Yeah, I trust God. You know, that's the Christianese thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I trust God. I trust God. But the question is, do you really trust God? Because you trust God when everything is going perfect and everything is going well. But when you get diagnosed with cancer or when you get a scare or when you get a sickness, do you really say, God, I trust you? Or is it when things are good? Because I want to challenge you. Not everything is going to be great and good. Did you know Jesus suffered too? Oh, come on now. Why would we think that we won't have suffering in our walk? Can I tell you something? We do. We really do. But should that scare you? No. If anything, you want to know what you should do? It should make you happy. It should say, you know what? I know I'm doing something for God's kingdom. I'm a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Because I'm a threat to the kingdom of darkness, it's going to come after me. But here's what I know. When I walk in God and I flow with God and I have a spirit in me, I can overpower any demonic activity or anything that's out there. Why? Because the spirit of God is much more powerful than the devil himself. But you got to trust God in every area of your life. Warren and Donna Pratt sold their 96-year-old family farm in Wisconsin to follow God's call to Uganda. They had no plan, no security, just a yes. Say yes. They trusted God, and he provided. Their ministry grew, training young farmers, sharing the gospel, and impacting an entire communities. They were martyred in 2001, but their story continues to inspire missionaries worldwide. Write this down if you're taking notes. Total surrender triggers breakthrough and unlocks God's overflow. I'll say it again. Total surrender triggers breakthrough and unlocks God's overflow. Half-hearted commitment won't reach this level at all. Pastor, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Here's what it means. Embrace God's call. Hand over what you've been holding on to. Trust his provision. Stop trying to figure it all out. Faith works best when logic runs out. Here's another one. Act boldly. Take one step this week that says, God, I'm all in. Tonight, I want to conclude with this, and I want to leave you guys with this. God doesn't just meet your need, he multiplies it. He doesn't just open a door, he floods your life with favor. He doesn't just bless, he brings overflow. Abraham's yes changed history. Peter's yes made the net overflow. Brian Schumacher's yes, his business exploded. When Warren and Donna said yes, nations were impacted. What about you? What is God asking you to surrender fully today? In other words, this, what steps of obedience have you been holding on to or holding back? I love what John Bevere says. Uncle John, as we all know, says it like this. Obedience is not measured by how much you do, but by how quickly you respond. Church, when you respond quickly to obedience, God responds to you. I challenge every one of you in this place tonight, this week, I dare you to give God your full yes. Don't hold back anymore. Don't reason with it. Don't sit with it. Just obey. Whether it's forgiving someone, giving generosity, stepping into a new calling that God has for you, letting go of control of your own life, say yes to what God is asking. Because when you pour out in obedience, listen, when you pour out in obedience, God pours back in overflow. So church, are you ready to take a challenge this week? Here's the challenge. Let's take a few moments right now. And I want you to ask yourself this question. And I want you to be honest and be real with yourself. Ask yourself, what one area is God nudging me to obey? Let's take a few moments and write this down. What one area is God nudging you to obey? Take a few moments, write it down. What one area is God nudging you to obey in? Maybe it's forgiving someone from your past. Maybe it's letting go of something that's been holding you back. Maybe it's letting go of someone who's been holding you back. Maybe it's forgiving someone who's really hurt you. Maybe he's been asking you to reconnect with him even deeper and you haven't obeyed. Maybe he's asking you to step up more in your prayer life. I don't know what area it is, but you do. Just take a moment and write it down, because I believe God's going to speak to you tonight, and he is speaking. Maybe he's been speaking to you about a certain addiction you've been involved in. Maybe he's been speaking to you about getting discipled here and you haven't done it. Maybe he's been speaking to you about stepping into ministry, volunteering, helping out, and you haven't done it. I want to challenge you to write it down. And tonight we're going to give it to God. And have a declaration that we're all going to say together in just a moment. So as you're writing it down, as you're done writing it down, I have a declaration. I want everybody in this church to see it. They're going to put it up here right behind me. And I want everyone to say this with me on three. One, two, three. God, I'm all in. I trust you. I surrender everything. Say it again. God, I'm all in. I trust you. I surrender everything. Now say it like you really mean it. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus tonight if you got a word from God. Here's what I'd like to do. Everybody stand to your feet. I'm going to pronounce a blessing over. But listen, if you were in here tonight and you said tonight you wanted to give your life and your heart to Jesus, right outside these doors will be some of our friends. We want to offer you a faith-filled friend. Who is that? Somebody to come alongside of you, teach you basic things of the Word of God. Here's why. Tonight when you get home, you're going to feel like, you know what, you're going to look the same, smell the same. You're going to even feel something inside of you. But you need somebody to encourage you in your walk with God. It wasn't until I had a friend to teach me basic things out of the Word of God. So Pastor Joel and his team, they'll be right out there with some books. They'll be waving them at you. So if that was you, I want to encourage you. Be obedient to what you did tonight and grab a book. Get discipled. It'll be the best thing you do. With that, let me pronounce a blessing over you guys. Go ahead and lift your hands. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for your word tonight, God. I thank you, God, that you showed up in this place tonight and you changed lives and you changed hearts, God. And tonight, Lord God, I pray a special blessing over each and every single person in here, God. Bless them coming and bless them going. And everything, God, they put their hands to, let it prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Lynn Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.